So I was in my very early introductory remarks on item number 15. Homelessness in Portland, I'm sure we all agree, is a humanitarian crisis. I think we can also agree that camp cleanups are difficult but necessary work to sustain and improve the safety and livability of our city. We've learned that we need our vendors not just to focus on the security or enforcement, but to lead with compassion and interact with people in a manner consistent with trauma-informed principles. So, in order to continue this important work in our community, we need to update our service contracts. This is an opportunity to contractually obligate that our vendors share our values and interact with people living on our streets with compassion, professionalism, and courtesy. Over the past several years, we learned that proper training is essential to the work of camp cleanups. With these changes, we're requiring that our contractors are trained in nonviolent de-escalation tactics, assertive engagement with neurodiverse individuals, CPR, and proper use of Narcan to treat individuals who've overdosed on opioids. We've also learned that lived experience is a highly valuable skill that cannot be taught. The staff of rapid response can offer us these intangibles. 63% of their employees have experienced the criminal justice system firsthand. 59% have experienced homelessness firsthand. And 57% are in or have been in drug recovery programs. Further, these contract changes stipulate that our camp cleanup vendors assist our outreach providers during a severe weather event, thereby expanding our resources to reduce the impact of exposure. The goal is that by requiring proper training and qualified mental health associates and peer support specialists, there will be fewer negative interactions between our vendors and folks living outside. This price agreement reflects the increased service levels required per our intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to clean throughout the city and do so in a values-driven manner. I believe that we can address the most problematic campsites, those that create a public health, an environmental, or a public safety threat, either to the community at large, are those within the camps themselves, and do so in a thoughtful and humane manner. And that is the contract that we are bringing forth today. And so with that, I will turn it over to the team. I believe Teresa Green is up first. Good morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning. My name
you
is...
You can move the mic closer.
Yeah, mics move around, and if you could all, just when you speak, identify yourselves for the record, that'd be helpful.
Good morning. My name is Teresa Green. I'm the Procurement Supervisor of Procurement Services on the Services Team. I conducted the RFP for the campsite cleanups, and I was also the buyer. I oversaw the...
A little closer, please.
Sorry about that. So I was working very closely with the project manager on the needs of the program based on the new requirements of our IGA with ODOT. I listened very intently to the concerns of council when Lucas first presented his ordinance. That council presentation, along with your comments, was gleaned. For those actual concerns, each and every one of you provided very valuable input. Those were relayed over to the scope of work, which will also be relayed over to the actual contract that we hope to have executed today.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you for that. Could you tell us what is different between the old contract and the new contract as far as the scope of work is concerned?
Of course. I know that Lucas is going to speak a little more to this later on, but initially, from a procurement standpoint, whenever something new comes into the contract, we do our best to try to incorporate it or the urgent needs into an existing scope of work that we have right now. But for this particular solicitation, we actually had to go back out because the scope changes were so large. We do have an agreement with ODOT, and the requirements included things that included increased insurance requirements from the original contract, and that's definitely something that will impact any proposer's finances when they have to prepare for such an increase in the commercial general liability requirements, in addition to carrying of the Narcan, the requirement for the qualified mental health professional that we'd like to have go out and do some outreach in the field. There's also that training piece. We definitely like to see that qualified individual actually provide the training to actually all the members of the crews that are going to be working in the field, so it will be an ongoing service that will be provided. There were just general enhancements all around to actually better serve the needs of the individuals whom we are impacting.
I think that's been one of the misperceptions, is that we're basically renewing the old contract that people had a lot of concerns about. And so the more we can talk about the difference between what we did before and what our vision is for the future, I think the better it's going to be for public understanding. So thank you for that.
Great. Okay. Good morning. Scott Schneider from Procurement Services. I'll just give you a quick recap of the CPO's report, and then I'll turn it over to Lucas and Johnny to
CPO.
The Chief Procurement Officer's report, and then I'll turn it over to Lucas and Johnny for more information on the scope. You have before you this morning the Chief Procurement Officer's report to Council recommending the award of a price agreement for campsite cleanup services for a not to exceed amount of $4,528,000 per year. On July 16th, 2019, the Chief Procurement Officer advertised RFP number 1288, and on August 12th, five proposals were received. All five proposals were deemed responsive to the requirements of the solicitation. Following a review by an evaluation committee, the city issued a notice of intent to award the price agreement to Rapid Response BioClean LLC on September 17th. One protest was received and was resolved. Rapid Response BioCleaning has a current City of Portland business tax account and is in compliance with the city's contracting requirements. There are no subcontractors on this contract. Based on the historical spend for these services, the confidence level for this procurement is high. If council has any questions about the solicitation process, Teresa and I can answer those, and otherwise we'll turn it over to Lucas and Johnny for more information on the scope.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you, my name is Lucas Hillier. I am the manager of the city's homelessness and urban camping impact
Lucas,
reduction program.
Lucas, could you slide that just a little bit closer, thank you.
I always get when I hear my voice.
Okay. Yes.
I want to thank you for the opportunity today to come talk about the very challenging work HUCRB does on behalf of the City of Portland. I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan so he can present an overview of the work that we do.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Jonathan Lewis, and I'm a program coordinator with the Homelessness and Urban Camping Impact Reduction Program, or HUCRP, by our better-known acronym. But we are the group responsible for administering the One Point of Contact campsite reporting system. Today, I'm going to provide an overview of One Point of Contact, and I will also showcase our report forms, discuss our assessment process, and also our posting criteria for campsite cleanups. As a program, we are committed to addressing the camps that pose the greatest risk to public health and safety. That's where we send our resources first and foremost. One Point of Contact is designed to better identify where those camps exist, and we do this through our partnership with the community. One Point of Contact is a system that provides one single place to report issues of camping or garbage. It's intended to simplify the process of reporting, and there are three ways that individuals can submit reports. They can use our campsite report form, PDX reporter, or they can call City County Information and Referral, and an Information and Referral specialist will take a report for them over the phone. Individuals need only pick one. HUCRP, our group, a team of three, we receive anywhere from 800 to 1,200 reports a week surrounding issues of homelessness. This is our campsite report form for folks that are not familiar. PDX Reporter is the other web form folks can access online. when reporting, the most important information that the most important piece of information that we need is really a location. Please note it is not necessary to submit multiple reports in one day. Generally speaking, submitting a new report once or twice a week is appropriate and in fact helpful for us as we work with our partners to help address the issue. So what happens after you submit a campsite report? This very detailed flowchart can be found on our website for folks that are interested in reading the fine print. But typically, our first responder is a group called Clean Start. Clean Start is a homeless to work program through Central City Concern. They respond by going to the reported location and conducting an assessment on behalf of the city. If the report is just garbage and not an active camp, they will pick up the garbage, send us back a report, and move on to the next location. If they find it is an active campsite, then they will engage with the individuals that are there. They will pick up camper-identified garbage. They'll pass out trash bags to assist folks in keeping their area clean. And then they'll take pictures of the site, and they'll send us back an assessment as to what they found. The assessment they send us is based off of criteria we have given them, which I will discuss in the next slide. And we use that to triage the many hundreds of requests for cleanup we get every week. This is a list of our primary posting criteria we use whenever making a determination to post a campsite. This list and our matrix has been vetted through several community work groups, including a Home for Everyone's Safety Off the Streets. Assessment criteria includes, but is not limited to, conspicuous drug use, amount of trash, ADA access restrictions, environmental impact, is it next to a school, a park, a private residence, are there reports of violence or crime? If a site meets a certain threshold, then we will post it for cleanup. In the next few slides, I will showcase examples of sites that have been posted for cleanup, but before that, I want to explain what a post actually means. A post refers to the written notification that we are required to give folks who are camping in any given area before we can remove any personal property that may be there. Previously, our posting time frame was 24 hours to 7 days, but with our new intergovernmental agreement with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, the new posting time frame throughout the city is now 48 hours to 10 days. Once a site gets posted for cleanup, outreach workers are notified so that they might have an opportunity to engage with folks that are present at the site before we come back to remove any personal property that may be left behind. I do want to be clear with folks that simply reporting a site does not mean the city will be going to immediately remove that camp. There is a process that we follow in order to protect all individuals involved. It is our intent to be as transparent as possible with everyone in the community, both housed and unhoused, so that folks know what we are doing and when. In January through June of 2019, 15% of all sites assessed by Clean Start were posted for cleanup. That means out of all the sites Clean Start went to assess, only 15% met our posting thresholds and were actually posted. Rapid Response completes anywhere from 30 to 50 posted cleanups a week. During winter months, when severe weather is declared by the county, we do not remove personal property and we do not ask people to move. We want folks to get to a warming shelter and not to have to worry about their personal belongings. This site is an example of one posted location. This area was posted as it met several criteria, including, but not limited to, the amount of trash. There were ADA accessibility issues. It's evidence of conspicuous drug use, in addition to some other factors. This site is an example of another location. This area again met several criteria, including but not limited to some environmental concerns, burning of some hazardous materials. There was a large amount of trash, also evidence of conspicuous drug use, and the camp was also rather large. Here is a third and final example of a posted site that also met our criteria, including but not limited to the amount of trash that was present. There were environmental concerns, and this area, this particular area, is posted no trespassing.
Clean Start I show you some pictures of really nice camps?
Please let him finish his presentation.
My next slide actually does show areas of town where our posting criteria was not met. These are three different locations. Each picture is a different spot. So this, again, is an example where posting criteria is not met, but impact reduction services continue. By impact reduction services, I mean primarily through the use of Clean Start, we will continue to pick up trash, engage with the campers, and offer resources. Personal property collected from cleanups is stored for up to 30 days in our storage facility. This is a picture from inside our storage warehouse. Our warehouse is in inner southeast Portland near the Orange Max Line. We do now have expanded hours of operations so folks can come to reclaim their property free of charge. So to recap quickly, folks can file a report using any one of the three methods identified. And they can use our campsite report form, PDX reporter, or city-county information and referral. Clean Start gets dispatched to do an assessment, pick up garbage, and engage with the folks that are there. Hucker reviews the incident and report sent back from Clean Start. If the site does not meet criteria for posting, we will continue to monitor the situation through the use of continued reports, and we will focus on those impact reduction efforts, working with partners as able. If the site meets the criteria for posting, we will put it on our list to post and triage that posting and cleanup with sites already in the queue. We notify social services and then begin coordinating with our internal and external partners. Then, at least 48 hours after the notice gets posted to folks informing them of a pending cleanup, city contracted vendors come back to remove whatever is left behind. Property is stored in our storage warehouse in inner southeast Portland along the Orange Max Line, and folks can come to reclaim their property within 30 days of its removal free of charge. We coordinate closely with service providers, but we also are strategizing new ways of engaging with an extremely vulnerable and highly marginalized population. Part of that strategy involves a group called the Navigation Team. This is a group of highly specialized outreach workers who work specifically at high-impact encampments and meet with folks where they're at. Once they've had an opportunity to engage and work with everyone present, they notify us and we post the site for cleanup. Here are some of the outcomes of their work. We have captured here data from 8 sites they have worked at. They're currently wrapping up work at their 9th site now, and we expect these figures to grow substantially from that work. Here are some of our performance measures.
Could you go back and please give us a few more sentences on that? Because I think the work of the outreach teams is critically important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this number, particularly at the top, the number of individuals engaged, 443 people, I think is absolutely amazing. These guys, they go to areas that we have identified as being high impact, and they work for a temporary but unspecified amount of time. And in that time, they really are working with folks to figure out what exactly they need. So for some, it's classes. Others, it's a birth certificate. It could be any number of things. But really, the idea is to help them navigate resources and to have better access to services.
So, sometimes I think you sell yourself short. And I'm enjoying the presentation, but I just have to note here, you're helping people get IDs, you're helping people get into treatment, you're helping them get into housing and to permanent supportive housing, you're helping get people into shelter if they want to get into shelter, and you're helping, I certainly appreciate the fact that you're helping people get basic things like eyeglasses and connecting them to the Oregon Health Plan.
Yes.
So this to me is important to highlight because it's part of the compassionate response.
Yes, and thank you, Mayor.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you. On that same note, I'm curious, what is the percentage of cleanups that take place as compared to sweeps that actually move people, right? So if you're thinking about you do X number total, right, of cleanups, how many of them actually end up displacing people who are houseless? Do you know, like, can you tell me what the percentage is or what the real numbers are?
So our group doesn't engage in sweeps. We do specifically, we call them... We call them campsite cleanups, and when folks are given notice, to me, a sweep means that folks are coming at any time, and they're not given any notice or anything like that.
Let me reframe. Let me rephrase my question. And so there are cases where, because of the trash garbage collection, you send a team out to actually clean up and assist folks who are living there with cleaning up the site. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry, Commissioner, could you repeat that?
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
That's okay. It is my belief that based on the calls that direct your team to go out, that there are places that you go, you're being called because neighbors are complaining about the mess that has accumulated. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, essentially, folks are filing a report about an issue for any reason. It could be because there's a mess. It could simply be because people are there. And that's why we have Clean Start Go to assess the site before we do anything after that.
And so the information I'm trying to get from you is, out of all the calls you get, there's a percentage that are just about giving people the tools to keep their site clean, right? There's a percentage that you're working with this navigation team to help them get IDs and to figure out how to troubleshoot whatever the issues are that can help them be more stable, right? But there's a percentage that there's actually a posting that happens that actually requires within 48 hours or 10 days, right, which is being proposed now, that this site is cleaned up. My question, my original question continues to be, what's the percentage based on all the cleanups, based on all the interactions, what are the percentages that are posted and required for people to be displaced from that location?
We found that January through June, 15% of all sites assessed ended up being posted. So just 15%.
Thank you. That is very helpful. I agree with the mayor that I think the work that's been done to actually get better at a more humane and just approach is really impressive. And I think that, I mean, there's some people that work for the city that come in and pat themselves on the back about how great they're doing. And I don't think that they're that great. You guys come in and you like undersell yourself. And I think that a lot of what you've learned through this process has been incorporated in this new RFP. So thank you for those answers.
Thank you, Commissioner.
It's like blue tea.
Appreciate your patience. So this is our group's performance measures. Folks can find this also on our website in more detail for those that are interested. Our group is not designed to solve homelessness. We're about public space management, but public space management that serves to meet the needs of everyone within our community. We walk a fine line between balancing the needs of a very vulnerable population and managing our public spaces in such a way that is acceptable to all community members. Simply submitting a report to one point of contact does not equal removal, but it does help to ensure that someone will have eyes on the issue to help address what is happening there. Thank you for having me here. I'm going to turn it back over to Lucas.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny. That was great. And again, my name is Lucas Hillier, and I manage this Homelessness and Urban Camping and Impact Reduction Program. I've been working in the city to improve the way that this program operates since 2016. You have to pardon my voice. I've been talking a lot over the last 2 weeks, as you can imagine. Over the last 4 years, through trial and error and extensive community outreach and engagement and many late nights, HUCRP has developed a tiered intervention approach to meet both our objectives and further reduce the traumatization of one of Portland's most vulnerable populations. As the mayor stated earlier, we have learned that an organization who is willing to do this work needs to hire, support, and retain individuals who share life experiences with those living outside on Portland's streets today. We have found this in Rapid Response BioClean, and this price agreement now allows us to require trainings to match that rich lived experience with evidence-based engagement modalities. an example of which we will require certification from the Crisis Prevention Institute in nonviolent de-escalation. We will require ongoing trainings and assertive engagement with neurodiverse individuals, as well as CPR certification and how to properly administer naloxone. Other new components of this statement of work in this price agreement include severe weather duties, which was talked about earlier, which require teams to cease cleanup and removal and shift to assisting outreach teams in welfare checks, distributing blankets, hand warmers, and to even help with transportation to emergency warming shelters. Historically, this organization has done that because we've asked them, and now this is a contractual requirement. We have also articulated clear instructions about what property needs to be stored and have greatly improved the property retrieval process with the goal of making it easier for folks to get their stuff back. The contractor will also need to make...
Excuse me, Lucas, sorry to interrupt you. I know you're on a roll there. This is an area that I know a lot of community members are very, very concerned about when you are deciding what to store and what is not storable. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between this new contract and the previous contract as it relates to how you collect, label, and store community members' belongings in this process?
Thank you for the question. The previous contract was based on language in the Anderson Settlement Agreement, and that language was very squishy and very ambiguous. It stated that all items reasonably recognizable to be of utility and or apparent value needed to be stored. The way that this program operated, when I first got here, the goal was to store as little as possible. So after going out into the field, I saw property getting being thrown away that was nicely packed, right, under a tarp, but because it was wet, the decision was made that we're not going to store it. So working with the city attorney's office and the Oregon Law Center, we came up with a couple different lists of things that under no circumstance can we ever throw away unless they are literally dripping bio waste, right? And then there's a list of things that are under no circumstance can we store, things like propane tanks or combustibles or drugs or anything like that.
Illegal,
yeah. And so those two lists are now part of this contract. We developed a system to make it more efficient in the field. So when a crew comes to a camp, we have learned that the amount of time they're there doing the inventory can create safety concerns. While crews are in the field, we have a different colored bag system. So a clear plastic bag is for anything that might be, could possibly be property. And a black garbage bag is for stuff that is clear garbage, candy wrappers and stuff. That stuff gets scooped up, loaded into the truck and taken to our storage facility where there's three full-time employees who spend 8 hours a day going through everything. Everything that we put our hands on has a picture of it, and it gets loaded into a spreadsheet. For sake of our due diligence to make sure that we're giving property back to the rightful owner, we ask folks to provide the location and the date of where their stuff was collected. Since we moved into the Southeast Portland location, we have about 4 to 6 property retrieval appointments a day. Historically, folks would have to get on the 12 bus and go almost all the way to Tigard. We would have maybe 1 or 2 appointments scheduled per month, and half of those people would actually show up. So it was clear to us that this wasn't working for anybody. And so with council's approval, we were able to enter into a lease with a very big warehouse. We are now making the onus on us to try to make it as easy as possible for people to get their stuff back. Yep. The contractor will also need to make, in this new statement of work, a qualified mental health associate available for crews in the field in emergency crisis situations. as well as conduct ongoing trainings for staff. And I believe the individual that Rapid Response is working with has also agreed to assist their staff in obtaining their peer support specialist certifications from the state of Oregon. I want to acknowledge the burden and the hardship this work can have on unsheltered Portlanders. No contract can eliminate all of those hardships, but this price agreement, statement of work, and the requirements therein point us in a direction to greatly reduce those hardships and negative interactions.
Thank you, Lucas. Yes. Appreciate it. And I understand you have some invited testimony. Is that correct?
Does
that complete your presentation?
It does.
Very good. Thank you all. Colleagues, questions? I just want to express my thanks to all of you. And I believe that this contract has shown tremendous evolution and thoughtfulness relative to the original contract. And I want to thank you for that hard work. This is a report. I'll entertain a motion.
I move acceptance of the report.
Second.
Any further discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
I agree with the mayor that this is necessary and also appreciative of the work that you've all done. This does address many of the concerns that I've been hearing over the past several years. And we will be getting frequent updates on how this is going, and of course we'll hear from our constituents if it doesn't go as well as we hope. So I appreciated, Lucas, your not only your work over 4 years, but also your recognition that it's going to continually improve the process, and also that in the statistics that we were given today showing only 15% are actually addressed, so that should set expectations from community members inside and out that there's still going to be a lot of people living outside that will need our help. Aye.
Hardesty?
I also greatly appreciate the hard work. Lucas, I think you would agree that I kind of put you through the ringer last week because it was really important that I understood why this proposal at this time. I want to make sure that for the record, the public knows that the plan is that you will have to come back to the city council before there is any extension of this contract, that we will have community conversations with frontline community members to make sure that their feedback is incorporated into whatever the next steps are, and that number three, that we will have a city council work session with invited testimony before any additional contracting is done with this one contract. I want to also encourage the folks that are working on the street to actually really engage with those community members who are frontline workers with houseless community members and help develop opportunities for them to be employed to be able to help with these cleanups as well. Right. I think what you've done, Lucas, has been pretty phenomenal, and I'm very grateful to your heart and your compassion around this issue. Right. It's rare that we get to wear our heart on our sleeve in the kind of work that we do, because this kind of work, you can't make anybody 100% happy. But I am confident that we have the right people leading this program with the right kind of heart. But I will also make sure that we're held to the commitments that we agree to in order to move this contract forward. So I vote aye.
Good daily.
Well, I want to thank our community partners, especially Street Roots, for bringing their concerns to our attention and for being patient with us as we work to improve and move this work forward. I've been working on homelessness issues since I first arrived in City Hall 3 years ago. My office facilitated multiple meetings between community advocates, the mayor's office, and HUCRP. Working together, we made many improvements to the old contract, including a process that prioritizes health and safety concerns for cleanups and deprioritizes low-impact camps. Weekly phone calls with resource providers to coordinate the needs of people in camps that are scheduled for cleaning. Earlier notices to camps to help people prepare in the event they have to move. And the end of the use of prison labor to clean the camps. I'm also very pleased that we struck the agreement with ODOT, who was not, had not adopted our new policies, and we couldn't expect the public to distinguish between the city and ODOT, and what they saw was people continuing to do the things that we said we weren't going to do anymore. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
We now have a much more humane approach and have greatly minimized cleanups that require people to move, as we learned today, just 15% of the sites. However, the biggest challenge in my mind remains, and that is that if we are requiring people to move, I believe we have to have somewhere for them to go. We have to offer an alternative site or a shelter bed to anyone being moved against their will. And I haven't given up on that, although we haven't achieved that. My office through PBOT recently permitted a new volunteer overnight hygiene center in the Central East Side, and we are actively analyzing PBOT right-of-way to identify safe sleeping spaces that will give people living outside another option to avoid being moved against their will. I'll continue to push this work and to use all the resources available to me. I want to thank Lucas Hillier and his team. You guys have been amazing to work with and always very open to our feedback and willing to collaborate. And I deeply appreciate that. The program is constantly learning, growing, and improving. I also want to thank Jamie Duhamel from my office for her work on this item, and just appreciate my colleagues for finding a way to move forward on this. I definitely support the short-term contract and the promise that we are going to do deep community engagement to make it even better. I look forward to being an active partner, and I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to hone in on something Lucas said during his presentation. This is not our strategy to end homelessness. This is about public space remediation. And there are some sites that provide a very real threat to public health, to the environment, and to public safety. And as what I hope people understand, having heard the presentation, is this is done with compassion. It's done by people who have the lived experience, who understand the conditions of people who live on our streets. And it's done in a manner to connect people with whatever services they need to get off and stay off the streets and be successful. I believe it's a good, excuse me, you're going to have to sit down or I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Excuse me, listen, there, realistically, given the number of sites, there will always be improvements that we can make and we should make, mm-hmm. but I think you've struck an excellent balance here. And I want to appreciate the hard work you've put into it. And we will continue to work on our primary strategies, which are compassionate and effective to address homelessness, whether it's prevention. Last year, through the Joint Office and A Home for Everyone, 7,000 people received prevention services in this community, people who are at high risk of becoming homelessness. Last year, over 6,000 people were moved either from the streets or from shelter into housing. 35,000 people in this community received other services, whether it was prevention, shelter, access to services, or transitioned into housing. And we're working with both our state and our county partners on connecting people who need addiction treatment or mental health services. We work with nonprofit organizations to connect people with domestic violence survivorship services. We work with providers around youth needs and youth services, and we work with our school districts. We work through the Housing Bureau on affordable housing. So there's many things that we are doing, and I want to acknowledge something Commissioner Fish might have mentioned if he were here today, which is we have pursued a very aggressive set of goals around permanent supportive housing to address those who are chronically homeless, those who have the greatest health needs to help them get off the street. We committed to 2,000 units of permanent supportive housing in this community over 10 years, but we're being far more aggressive than that. In year one, we either identified or created over 850 new units of permanent supportive housing. So this is a part of a much larger strategy to address this humanitarian crisis on our streets. And I want to thank you for the great work that you and your team are doing. We appreciate it. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And as a manager, I would not be a good manager if I didn't thank my team, Jonathan and Katie Lindsay, who's on maternity leave right now. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about this, and I appreciate your
And Lucas, while you're at it, I forgot to mention Seraphie Allen on my team. Yes. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Seraphie and the hard work that she's done and all of you have done on this as well. Thank you. And I want to thank my colleagues as well. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.